Chapter 27. We mustn't go before midnight, Philip. Mr. Mallett might see us, and the surprise would go flop. I hope you've kept your mouth shut, Bob. You haven't let a word out, have you? What do you take me for? Retorted Bob, administering a hearty punch to Simon. Patrick, have you finished the inscription? See, it's here in my satchel. It's super. You're tops at artistic jobs. In gold letters on a light blue background, they read, Happy New Year to Mr. Mallett. From his grateful debtors, Cyril, Bob, Simon, Charlie, Andrew, Patrick, with the help of the youth workers group and their chief, Philip Berger. Where will you hang it? Inside, of course. We don't want everyone to see it. It's marvelous, this van, murmured Bob, caressing its shining surface. Only think that soon I'll be riding in it. I shall be mad if it rains tonight, said Cyril. I was polishing it up till midnight last evening. Don't be afraid. It's too cold to rain, and the sky is all stars. Let's go up now. I'm freezing. The happy crowd climbed nimbly up the four floors and invaded Patrick's home, to wait for the solemn moments when Philip would drive the van triumphantly in front of Mr. Mallett's door. Isn't it nearly time, Cyril? Asked Simon, stifling a yawn. Since you're asleep on your feet, better go home to bed. I haven't traveled a whole day to miss this excursion, exclaimed Simon, rubbing his eyes. What an awfully long journey it seemed since 5 o'clock this morning. Here's some coffee to wake you up, said Mrs. Demierre, entering at this moment, with a great steaming coffee pot and a plate of biscuits. Bob's face brightened, and he hastened to help Carol to put the cups on the round table. Every other minute, Cyril kept opening the window and taking a careful survey of the street, fearful lest some clumsy person might scratch the van in passing. What time does your boss get up, Bob? Asked Patrick. I love to see his surprise when he opens his shutters. You're lucky to be living there. He's very early as a rule, but since it's a holiday, I hope he'll sleep a little longer. In spite of my noted curiosity, I'm not inclined to get up at 6 tomorrow, even for such a good cause, said Simon, yawning again, almost wide enough to dislocate his jaw. We'll pay him a visit en masse tomorrow morning at 10, and Bob will tell us all about it. Agreed? Said Philip. Agreed. Let's go now. It's 11:30. Everyone is asleep. They all jumped to their feet. Softly, softly, cautioned Mrs. Demierre. Remember, we are in a flat. On tiptoe, the party descended the four flights of stairs and squeezed into the minivan, which Philip started as quietly as possible. The frosty air took away all their sleepiness. Happy and excited, they were all seized with uncontrollable laughter. Don't put your great feet on the folding seat, complained Cyril. Look here. First of all, there are no bigger than yours, and second, you'll be treated worse than that when I load up the baskets with cauliflowers. Besides, you can't say anything. I paid for that bit. Look out, Philip. You ran over a nail. We'll have a puncture. Don't bother to stop at the red light. There's no one around. Even Philip shook with laughter at some of the sallies. You'll make me run into a wall if you keep on like this, he remonstrated. At last, the van arrived safely at Three Mirrors Street and stopped before the little home of the florist, who was sleeping the sleep of the just behind closed shutters. Quiet now, warned Philip sternly. No banging doors or chattering. Charlie pushed his handkerchief into his mouth to stifle a fresh desire to laugh. Patrick hung the inscription well in sight on the mirror, and Philip gave the keys to Bob, who crept into the house like a mouse into its hole. Silently, the lads moved away, returning several times for one more look at the object of so much effort and care. Philip's car was parked not far off, and was used to take each one home. They arranged where to meet the following morning. Only Simon gave no sign of life when Philip stopped at the Golden Lion Hotel. He was so fast asleep that he was carried in like a child in the young farmer's strong arms.